Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus King coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there, as well as Monday Night Raw once again pulls a little bit of bait and switch, don't they? I mean, I'm not really sure how many people tuned in just because Bill Goldberg was advertised. I'm going to say not too many. But for the people who did, and for the people who stayed up saying, well, I do want to see what he has to say, well, you got swerved. Now, that's what the WWE is going to call it. They're going to call it a swerve. I call it a bait and switch, and I'll tell you why. They knew that to a certain extent that could be something that the fans would want to see because there could be an important angle coming out of it. They also knew that once they announced that it was going to be Goldberg when he came down, that they thought at least the heat would go to The Miz. But the heat really didn't go to The Miz. The heat went to them. Because quite obviously, if your announcers are so ill-informed that they don't know that Bill Goldberg is not there, that's a pathetically run company, right? So, yeah, there's a few little bait and switches that went on last night, but let's start at the beginning with Randy Orton in a mask declaring that he's still going to be in the Royal Rumble and that he does not blame Alexa Bliss for what happened. He blames The Fiend. Well, number one, according to what he thinks at least, he's blaming a dead man. Number two, I don't know if anyone has ever actually suffered a burn, but I'm pretty sure the one thing you would not do is put on a latex mask. Because that would irritate your skin like nobody's business. So unfortunately, that's kind of a dumb gimmick. I don't know why they're doing this. I'm not really sure what the WWE has in mind other than they thought, I guess they thought, and again, a little bit of bait and switch, I guess they thought we would expect to see some kind of burn marks. And it's easy just to do a nose up, put a little red around a certain area, but if he had to come without a mask and we saw nothing, it would look really, really phony. I suppose that's what they thought. I mean, you could have just had him bandaged up a little bit because really, a mask is a little bit much. That would be the single most irritating thing you could put on your skin if indeed you did suffer first-degree burns. So, his speech, what does it say? Nothing really. He just claims he's going to win the Royal Rumble. He's not going to be in the Royal Rumble. At least I doubt it. Unless plans have severely changed, he is not going to be in the Royal Rumble. So once again, this is a little bit of bait and switch. I'm in the Royal Rumble. I'm definitely in it. And I know a lot of fans wrote to me and said, well, that's when The Fiend's coming back. He's going to be an entrant into the Royal Rumble. Maybe. Maybe they've changed their plans. But from what I heard, we're having a Firefly Funhouse match at the Royal Rumble. Should be announced next week. And unless those plans have changed, that's what they actually had in mind up until at least this week. So let's talk a little bit about the beginning and the Randy Orton interview or whatever you want to call it. Mike, kind of illogical you'd wear a latex wrestling mask on burnt skin. Hello, Mike. Mike is not there. Let's go to Todd. Todd, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. So what's your thoughts on Randy Orton wearing a mask over a burnt skin?
You're absolutely right there with Randy Orton having that mask over his face. Like, come on now. That's going to irritate your skin and everything, and or those first-degree burns and everything. If I was whoever wrote that, here, you're gonna be bandaged up like a mummy. This way, you have your.
Yeah, if you want to put some bandages on him, I'm okay with it, you know. But not a Mexican wrestling mask. God, that really just so ridiculously. I don't know. Again, that just smacks of laziness, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, and look, what have we said about the WWE over the past several years? It seems like, particularly on Raw, they've gotten really, really lazy. And you're right about the wrestling mask. You know, that you wouldn't, those masks are not particularly even, I mean, you look at even Ray Jr.'s mask, you know, the Lucha House Party's masks. You wouldn't wear those type of masks on a burn either. I mean, as I recall, when Hacksaw Jim Duggan got burned, he didn't put on a mask. Now, they did all kinds of things with his eyebrows and all that stuff, but he didn't wear a mask, you know. They didn't even tape him up. They didn't even put any bandages on him to hide his face, you know. So even they thought at the time that doing something like that would be an idiotic thing to do, would be not logical, because you put even to some extent putting bandages on it is irritating, right?
Yeah, even bandages could be irritating, but you would assume there's some kind of salve or something on the other side of the bandage. If you've ever wore one of these masks, they irritate your skin when you don't have a burn. So this would be the last thing in the world that you'd be wearing over a burn. Now Randy tries to compensate by saying, well, it's still painful, but I feed off that pain. I don't know where they're going. I really don't, but I'm not sure I like it. Speaking of things I'm not sure I like, we then get to Charlotte Flair, who says, and I'm not kidding you now, this is where we're going with the WWE's writers. Charlotte Flair has written the following line. I grew up with the dirtiest player in the game, but I never wanted to stoop to those tactics. No? No? Well, that's funny. I must have been watching a different Charlotte Flair all this time. When things like that happen, it really makes my head explode, because I say, how much could you care when you're writing this? She has to admit that she's used these tactics. All she had to say was, I grew up with the dirtiest player in the game, so she thinks she's learning from my father. I grew up with my father. I know all about the way my father operates. She doesn't. No, instead she says, well, I never wanted to stoop to that level. Oh, my God. So she goes out there and fights Peyton Royce, who's doing a little more serious gimmick and not doing her normal comedic stuff. And lo and behold, Ric Flair comes out, and he's with Lacey Evans, and she's in Ric Flair's robe. Now, I understand that they're trying to get across that Ric Flair is needling his daughter for some reason. I don't know why. But if Charlotte Flair is supposed to be the consummate professional wrestler, why is she distracted by someone coming out in her father's robe? I don't care. Why would she care, really? Whatever. Concentrate on the match. Now, they let this match have a lot of time. And the reason they let this match have a lot of time is they didn't have much going on. This match went through, I think, 3 commercial breaks, which is good for Peyton Royce, because she got to show a little bit of what she can do. But in the end, Charlotte Flair wins. And I guess we're supposed to be assuming that Lacey Evans is sleeping with Ric Flair, which is a really dumb angle, considering the last time you promoted Lacey Evans, she was a family woman who brought her daughter to wrestling matches. Again, this is them saying, forget what you watched a year ago. That doesn't exist anymore. In our universe, everything gets wiped clean after like 1 year. They never did that. So-and-so was never the champion. These people never teamed. I don't know what they think. I really don't. It was an okay match, Mike, but once again, I just don't see what this does to promote a Lacey Evans feud. Lacey Evans has not really been booked to be anybody who could beat Charlotte Flair.
Right, and that's the thing. I don't get that. And to tell you the truth, you know, again, they've screwed Lacey Evans up ever since she showed up. She never should have been the whole sassy Southern Belle. She should have been the thing with the Marine. Basically, she should have been a female Sergeant Slaughter. You know?
Yep.
That's what she should have been. And they screwed that up big time. But I don't know who came up with the sassy Southern Belle thing and the taking and the nasties and all that stuff. I don't know who came up with that, but they've screwed her up from the beginning. And I'm not sure you can fix what they've done to Lacey Evans, you know?
I don't think you can. I think you're right. I don't think you can. What do you do to fix her? I don't know. I mean, you could have fixed her right up to this point because you went for the opposite. You went for, okay, I'm a mom. Excuse me. I'm a mom. I'm trying to set a good example for my daughter. You are? What are we even bothering to invest ourselves into any of these characters? Because in 2 weeks, Lacey Evans could go back to being, I'm bringing my daughter to ringside. I'm trying to be a mother. And if we said, wait a minute, wasn't she whoring around with Ric Flair? No, that never existed. Who? No, you forget that. Why should we forget it? You're the ones who wrote it. You're the ones who presented it to us on television. And the very people who tell you you should forget the Lacey Evans angle where she's a happily married mom, then in the very next match, turn around and say, you shouldn't forget that Ali had his spot taken by Kofi Kingston. So which is it, WWE? Do you want the fans to have long-term memory and say, oh, yes, I remember. I remember when Kofi was inserted into that because Ali was injured. That makes sense because, I remember that happening. Or do you want us to have short-term memory where we say we don't remember Lacey Evans bringing her little girl to ringside? Because you can't have it both ways. Now, my assumption is that they're trying to set up Kofi Kingston versus Ali for some kind of a feud when Kofi's jaw gets healed. And I don't have a problem with that. But wow, are you really making Xavier Woods look like the weak link while Big E is over on SmackDown being a champion and Kofi Kingston was actually the heavyweight champion? Xavier Woods is dropping matches to T-Bar and Mace. Man, are you making Xavier Woods look like the weak link? And if this is for the Kofi Kingston buildup, so be it. But you see, again, WWE, you can't say, please remember that Ali had his spot taken by Kofi, and that's why we have this big feud. And then ask us, but please don't remember that a month ago, these guys were getting their asses kicked by one guy. A month ago, all of these, all four of Redemption was getting their asses slaughtered, their heads handed to them. And oh, by the way, the Hurt Business took money, supposedly, and championship opportunities to totally eradicate them and didn't do their job because they still exist. So this is the problem, Todd. They're very inconsistent on what they want you to remember and what they want you to forget.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, they want you to remember things and they want you to forget stuff. They don't they don't exist anymore. It's the WWE for you, and, you know, it's messed up there.
It's kind of silly, Mike, and it gets aggravating after a while because at least if they say, no, forget everything all the time, or no, you have to remember everything, then they're consistent. But when they're this inconsistent, you know, how are we supposed to know what we're supposed to remember and forget?
Yeah, I mean, on other shows I've said this. I've said They're consistently inconsistent. And that's the worst form of being consistent there is. If you're inconsistent all the time, oh, we start something. Oh, we're going to lead. It's going to lead down a blind alley. We're going to do this. Oh, no, we're going to break these people up the week later, you know, and that's the thing. And they do it all the time on Raw. Now, they do it less so on SmackDown. That's why SmackDown is a better show. But they do it, it seems like they do it all the time on Raw, you know.
Yeah, it seems like the modus operandi. I mean, it really is getting aggravated. So, again, Xavier Woods loses to Mace. Fine. I guess we're getting some kind of Kofi Kingston feud eventually. We'll see where this goes. All night long, they're advertising Goldberg is going to be there. He's going to be on the Miz and Morrison show, the A-List, or whatever the hell the show is called. I can't even remember what the show is called because I don't care. I really don't. And this is the promoting theme all night long, is that there are things happening that I don't care, unfortunately. So speaking of I don't care, Nia Jax is backstage with Shayna Baszler, and Shayna Baszler is saying she's going to go out there and annihilate Mandy Rose, and then she's going to throw everybody out of the ring, just like she's going to do at the Royal Rumble, because it's and that includes your tag team partner, to which Nia Jax is shocked. Nia Jax's reaction is, what? Me? It's every person for themselves. Did someone explain the rules to you or no? Are you shocked that someone you don't get along with and openly say, we don't get along, has just stated that, well, when I get in that Royal Rumble, it's every person for themselves. Is that shocking? Again, who writes this? I mean, Nia Jax's correct reaction should be, I would expect nothing less of you. It's not like we're really friends. It's not like we're a close-knit unit. I respect what you can do, and I respect the fact that you as a competitor helped to get me the tag team titles. I don't expect anything from you in that Royal Rumble. But remember, don't expect anything from me either. That's the correct reaction. Instead, you want me? Why would you come after me? Gee, I don't know, because she wants to win the Royal Rumble. And then we have totally changed Shayna Baszler's character from this hard-ass bully to this girl who's following Nia Jax around saying, well, I've always been in all of your matches. I don't know. I come out there for you. I'm always there for you. What do you want? What are you trying to make her? I don't even understand what's going on. So she goes out and basically squashes Mandy Rose. Who cares? Sorry. If that sounds harsh, I'm sorry. I don't care. I don't even care a little bit. Because you've done nothing to make me care about these characters. Now comes maybe the worst thing. Backstage, Matt Riddle, who got his ass handed to him and double-teamed last week, waits for the Hurt Business to come in and literally doesn't care. He just says, oh, well, you know, water under the bridge, dude. Water under the bridge, they attacked you. So then Bobby Lashley says, look, leave this to me. They all walk away, and he literally says to Matt Riddle, oh, I like your sandals. And he says, thank you. He says, the trouble with that is they don't really protect your feet. And then he literally misses Matt Riddle's foot by a foot. I mean, he doesn't come close. And Matt Riddle sells it. Matt Riddle has no choice, I guess, if it's live. If that was taped, I would say, dude, could you try to hit my foot? Because I'm not selling that. Any idiot could see you missed me. But if it's live, I guess he has no choice. But Lashley, do you know how to stomp somebody's foot? Is it possible you could make some contact, any contact whatsoever? I mean, my God. That's awful. Absolutely awful and 100% inexcusable. Todd, did you see how much he actually missed Matt Riddle's foot by?
Yeah, I seen it. That part with he didn't actually step on his foot. Come on now. If he really did it, he would.
Not only did he not step on his foot, you could clearly hear he stomped on the ground. Mike, this had to be one of the worst spots in Raw this week. It wasn't even close. I laughed out loud at how far he missed him.
It really is. I mean, look. I mean, there's been over the past time I've watched, you know, wrestling, there've been a number of guys that have been barefooted guys, and at some point, somebody, you know, has stomped on their foot, including when he first showed up, our guy Miro. Remember, he wrestled barefooted. It was only after a while that he got it through his head that people will, or the character got it through his head that people will stomp on your foot to get an advantage over you. So after a while, I mean, I know what they're going for with, you know, with him. All right. Now, again, you might not like Matt Riddle, but you got to give him kudos for actually selling something that didn't happen, or at least trying to sell something that didn't happen. Thank you, Bobby Lashley. Like you said, can you get this thing right? Can you? You've been a professional wrestler for how long, Bobby Lashley? And you can't. You don't know how to stomp on somebody's foot. What's going on?
And he's a champion. This is your champion. This is a guy who's representing you by holding a title. He can't stamp on somebody's foot correctly. Congratulations. That's a marvelous representation. It aggravates me. So now I'm really aggravated. Raw has aggravated me tremendously up to this point. And backstage, Adam Pearce, who we're told isn't a general manager or anything, is making matches and making decisions, so I guess he is. And he says, well, Ricochet has to prove himself to be in the Royal Rumble. He does? Well, boy, you better make sure then that nobody enters that Royal Rumble that didn't prove themselves. I don't want to see Bo Dallas or somebody where you say, well, wait a minute, what has he done? I mean, Ricochet's had some victories here. He's had some losses, too. I guess they're dropping this whole thing with Retribution because now they're moving on to Kofi Kingston. Remember when it was, will Ricochet join? That like a hot potato, didn't they? So he has to fight AJ Styles. Well, now I'm not too disappointed at this because I said we're going to have a really good match. Because every single time AJ Styles has stepped in the ring with Ricochet, it's been a really good match. They have a lot of chemistry together. And AJ Styles and Ricochet are the perfect type of combination to work a really good match. Ricochet's not too big, so AJ can handle him well, because AJ's not enormous. Ricochet plays off the quicker, more agile, but AJ plays up the more experienced and cerebral. And I expected a decent match. But I have to tell you that it was better than decent. And the ending of this match was the first thing on Raw in probably 6 months that literally made me cheer out loud. When AJ Styles bounced Ricochet off that top rope directly into a Styles Clash, I said, wow. Now, I'm going to tell you that that takes both people, tremendous ability on the end of both people. Tremendous ability. Ricochet has to be in perfect position. You know, sometimes people struggle when AJ Styles is trying to get him in the Styles Clash, and it takes a second because their body's not in the right position. So Ricochet has to be in the right position while being hung upside down after just getting bounced off the top rope. That's not easy. So everything has to come together perfectly. But man, oh man. You know, when I see something like that, that's when I say, well, there's professionalism. That's what I want to see from wrestling. I want to see a moment like that where you're like, whoa, that looked awesome. That was a fantastic ending. Now, I know a lot of people don't want Ricochet to lose. They thought, oh, well, he'll win somehow and get himself into the Royal Rumble. Well, I think the story they're telling with Ricochet is that he can't win. And maybe he will at some point join the Retribution. I don't know. But this match was a professional wrestling match. This match was exactly what Raw needs more of. Now, I don't care about the hokey you have to prove yourself thing. But this is the type of match that Ricochet comes out of it looking great, even though he lost. And AJ Styles comes out of it looking like, man, you can't sleep on AJ Styles, not even for a second. Don't matter who he's in the ring with. He's got the ability to put you down. This is what professional wrestling's supposed to be, where you say, look, these guys, on any given night, Ricochet could have reversed that. On any given night, Ricochet might have won. Tonight, AJ Styles was the better man because he pulled that move out of nowhere. Mike, this was a really, really impressive ending to this match.
Best match of the night, you know.
Easily.
And look,
yep.
What was it, last year or a year and a half ago, we were talking about AJ Styles being the best professional wrestler in the world. Okay?
Yep.
Not just in the WWE, in the world. This just proves it. When they give him something meaty to do, he's going to be able to do it. And look, in this situation, Ricochet's not far behind. If you give him, put Ricochet in the right situation, and tell him to do, you know, what they did, he's going to come out looking almost as good as AJ Styles did, or very close to it, you know. And this, like I said, best match of the night, and this could be a match of the year candidate.
I'll tell you, it's a match. It's the ending of the year candidate. I'll tell you that, because I did not see this coming. And initially, I thought it was a flub, because he kind of tried something with the ropes where he was on his midsection before, and I'm like, I think they flubbed something, and then he just seamlessly transferred it into a Styles Clash, and I said, man, wow. But again, that takes both guys. And you know they came up with that backstage. You know they said, let's come up with something good. Let's come up with something sweet. That's what professionals do. That's what Cesaro does a lot, where he says, okay, I'm going to lose, or okay, you know, I'm not the main guy on this program. But as long as I'm going to wrestle, let me come up with something a little unique or different that people will say, oh, that was cool. He does it all the time. That's why I'm saying the WWE has got a ton of talent. They just don't know how to use it, or don't want to use it. I don't know which it is. But you know they came up with that. You know they said, let's give this a shot. And man, did that look good. I don't believe I've ever seen that before. Ever. You know how long I've watched wrestling? You know how long I've watched AJ Styles? I don't think I have ever seen him do that before. So it's always nice when you see something that really makes you literally stand up out of your chair and go, what just happened? That's awesome. Todd, that ending was nothing short of fantastic.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said, with AJ Styles and Ricochet, and you can see that between those two with the chemistry, and that's one of, that was the match. Also, that was the match of the night for me, or maybe the match of the century. Actually,
I don't know that that good, but I'll tell you this. It should have went longer. If it's going to be the match of the year, I would like to have seen it go 20 minutes. I would like to see Ricochet and AJ Styles go 20 minutes. I would love to see that match. Because AJ Styles can still do it. That's the thing. When AJ Styles is saying, well, you know, I'm getting older and I don't really want to do this. Well, yeah, he hasn't slowed down at all. Not at all. He's drinking from the same fountain, apparently, that Dustin Rhodes is drinking from, because, you know, he is not slowing down. But there's two people who put professional in professional wrestling. That looked great. That whole match looked great. And there were other things in the match, too. Reversals of reversals. where you thought, well, Ricochet's going to get the advantage here. No, he didn't. They kept you on your toes the whole match. You know what that's called? That's called trying. That's called, let's not go out and mail it in. Let's go out and really light it up. As long as we can do it, let's do it. And they did it. And I'll tell you something, it may have saved the show. It may have saved the show. Anyway, we get the United States champion Bobby Lashley and the tag team champions of Hurt Business versus the Lucha House Party and Riddle. Here we go again with the infighting. Every group is infighting, except I guess Retribution isn't. But aside from that, every group is infighting. Elias and Stryker is having problems. Apparently now our tag team champions having problems. Everybody's having problems. Everybody's infighting. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, they're infighting. They're not the tag team champions anymore, but they're still a team. And they're infighting. That's it. Well, that's what happens in the WWE. Everybody, it's the same script. I used to joke and say, I think the same people who write Raw writes Bewitched, or used to write Bewitched. Every episode was, Samantha's mother puts a curse on Darren. Oh, brilliant. Haven't we done that 100 straight episodes? Yeah, who cares? Well, it's the same thing here. You got a team, you're infighting. You got a partner, you're infighting. Okay. Well, this is making MVP look stupid because MVP had his guys honed like a machine, and now all of a sudden everybody's at each other's throats. And this happened virtually overnight and for no reason. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. I think, to be perfectly honest with you, it's destroying any credibility that the Hurt Business had. They get the win. Matt Riddle gets a shot in on Bobby Lashley, so I guess this feud is going to continue for whatever reason. I don't know. And I just think at this point, this did nothing but weaken the Hurt Business in my eyes, Mike. And I just, what are we going to get out of this? Shelton Benjamin versus Cedric Alexander? Who cares? Well, I guess we don't have Mike there. Let me go back to Todd. Todd, do you really care if we have a breakup of the Hurt Business at this point? Wouldn't they be better to stay together?
My opinion on that, I think it's be a better idea to have them to stay together than to break up. This group just got formed not too long ago, not even like a year ago. Technically.
Yeah, and they're cranking in all cylinders. They're really starting to gel. Why would you take a team that gels and really starting to crank on all cylinders and say, well, okay, let's destroy it now? What's the reason behind that? I don't get it. I don't get it at all. Bad idea. Now, the next thing we come across is the Miz and, of course, Morrison. And they're going to introduce Bill Goldberg, who turns out to be Gilbert, who it's nice to see because this guy, for people who don't know it, had a heart attack a year ago, a little more than a year ago. So it's nice to see him. Nice to see he's good. He's okay. He's funny. He does a really funny Bill Goldberg impersonation, and I must admit I laughed when they asked him what he was going to do, and he said, I'm going to pound my head in the locker first. Well, that was funny. Then they have a guy come out as Drew McIntyre, a fat slobby guy. I think he's an actor, a real actor. I don't know, but regardless. Then it got silly, and Morrison and Miz started infighting because, of course, that's what they do in WWE. Any group is infighting, right? I told you not to get this guy. Well, I don't know, blah, 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 whatever. And all this really is a bait and switch, and then the Miz says, I'm going to cash in. at the Royal Rumble and I'm going to be the champion. Okay, well, did I laugh once or twice? Yeah. Was it worth all of this just to get to The Miz claiming he was going to cash in his Money in the Bank? No. No. I think they could have done a little more with this, Mike, but, I mean, it is what it is.
It is what it is. And look, if they really wanted to do something with it, you could have had those two guys, those Goldberg and the other guy, do a match with each other. Maybe not a long match, but a short match where, well, I mean, you know, Goldberg hits him with the spear. And they're both about the same size. Goldberg hits him with the spear and wins or whatever. You know, you could have had him do a mini match and had some sort of an ending to the match that said, you know, well, we know this is not going to be happening in the real match, but hey, if you're going to bring these two guys.
Yeah, I guess they can't do it because Goldberg had his heart attack, so he's probably not cleared to do anything, and the other guy's probably not trained to do a single thing, but could they have done some kind of weird thing by which The Miz ends up just kind of like winning, you know, or something, you know, something dumb? Maybe they could have. I don't know. It seemed like a little bit of a waste because it was like a 10-minute segment, and all it really did was The Miz claims I'm going to cash in my Money in the Bank. Is okay, big deal. Backstage, we have Elias and Riker, and Elias is saying, you know, when I said I didn't want you to interfere in my match, you didn't take it the right way. And he's like, well, I took you literally. You said don't interfere, so I didn't interfere. Yeah, but that's not what I meant. I don't know where they're going with this either. It's kind of dumb. You know, you had Riker start out as being this monstrous, almost psychopathic bodyguard, and now you're going to run comedy with him? You're going to run Three Stooges with him? Oh, when you say you don't, you mean you do, and when you say you do, you mean you don't. No, that's not what I mean. I mean when I don't do it, but then when I say don't do it, also don't do it. We don't need this. You're destroying Elias's character. And by the way, you're destroying Riker's character because Riker's going out to face Jeff Hardy and says, are you going to help me? Are you going to help me? I thought Riker was his bodyguard. I thought Riker was this psychopathic, crazed, I'll throw four people out of the ring, I'll tear anybody's head off that gets near Elias. And he turns to Elias and says, are you going to help me? So now they're buddies? I thought the gimmick was he's not supposed to be buddies. That's supposed to be his legit bodyguard. Hate it. Absolutely hate it. And then Elias does help him, otherwise he would have lost. And then when Elias rightfully says, well, he was going up, nobody kicks out of that. I might have. That's comedy. You've changed them now. Now all of a sudden Riker's a comedic guy. He's not this tough, psychopathic, crazy guy who is going to be hard to beat. He's a comedy guy saying, I might have kicked out of it. You don't know. Wow. I'm sorry, you threw Elias under the bus. You threw Riker under the bus here, Mike. You know, nothing's going to come out of this. Nobody wants to see this feud continue in any way, shape, or form. And we're having a lot of trouble with Mike's phone line today, but let me get back to him and see if we can get him. Are you there, Mike?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Now I can.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You're right. I mean, again, this is part and parcel. This whole thing with Riker is part and parcel to WWE. They come up with good stuff, but all of a sudden they change it midstream to something crappy. You know, I mean, we had the original thing with the Forgotten Sons. He was with the Forgotten Sons, and it was going good, and then he comes up and says, well, you know, we know what happened, Riker, and what he said, all right? So they split him off from the other two guys, okay? Then they come up and they put him with, basically the roadie or bodyguard with Elias. It's a good deal. The guy who, I like Elias's music. Elias's music helps me out. It's my muse, you know. And when it goes away,
right.
you know, you get this nutso crazy guy, you know. So and now they're changing it to something else. I don't get it.
Not only don't I get it, I hate it, because you had something good going here. You had Elias, who's a little bit of a comedic type guy, and that's fine, have a real serious kind of psychopathic security or bodyguard who really is throwing people around like they're rag dolls. And you're like, man, okay, this guy, that's going to make Elias extremely hard to beat. Instead, it's the reverse now, and Elias is saving him. Oh, my God, who writes this? If that's his buddy, if that's his bass player, that's one thing. This is supposed to be his security. How many rock stars save their security? Whatever. This is typical WWE. Typical WWE. Now, we had Alexa Bliss's Playground before this. Alexa Bliss is a very good actress, and she's doing a fantastic job. This was not good for Asuka. Not good for Asuka at all. I don't know who set Asuka down and said, you have to act like a terrified little girl who couldn't defend herself against an aunt. This is Asuka. It's one thing if she looks around a little and says, what the hell's going on here? This is a little creepy. But she's scared to death. That's not what you use Asuka for. If you want to use Billy Kay for that or something, fine. Not Asuka. That was a huge mistake. Huge. Then Asuka and her finally have their match, which is the feature match. By the way, 3 out of 7 matches this week were female matches. That's interesting, huh? And Asuka has the match, and listen, she's doing very well. There was a couple of shots there. The one knee shot that she gave Alexa Bliss, I really thought she knocked her out. I thought she just potatoed her for real, but apparently not. That's how good Asuka is. Alexa Bliss is doing her part perfectly. There is no blame to put on Alexa Bliss here. The blame is on the writers. Because irregardless to how you want to portray Alexa Bliss, you can't have Asuka be terrified, afraid of her. You just can't. You just can't. And now it's muddying the waters between, well, who's the heel and who's the face? The Fiend and Alexa Bliss were kind of the faces in this Randy Orton deal. I don't know. Doesn't make a lot of sense. And then we go to commercial break after the lights go down, like the Fiend is in attendance, and all of a sudden Alexa Bliss is semi-indestructible. And Asuka hits her with a bunch of stuff, and it really doesn't have much effect, if any real effect. And next thing you know, Sister Abigail, 1, 2, 3. Alexa Bliss has pinned Asuka. Every since Charlotte Flair got back, Asuka has been thrown in the trash can. And I can smell what's happening just as sure as I said here, and that is Alexa Bliss is going to win this title, and then Charlotte Flair is going to face Alexa Bliss at WrestleMania. Because, of course, Charlotte Flair is going to go for the title at WrestleMania. Of course she is. And Asuka, I don't know what she'll do. I don't know what she'll do. Maybe she'll be selling popcorn in the audience. I don't know. I love Alexa Bliss's character. This should not have been handled this way. This should have been handled in a very different way. Asuka should have came in not looking afraid, looking confused. What is this? And then finally saying, you know, I'm just going to leave. Just leaving. I don't know what's going on here, but I don't like it. Then you should never have Asuka look like she's afraid in the ring. Now, she should just go at her. And just if you want her to lose, that's fine. But don't lose because I'm afraid to fight her. Holy mackerel. Could you undermine Asuka anymore? Would you do that to Brock Lesnar? Would you do that to Drew McIntyre? Would you do that to anybody that you're trying to promote at all? And by the way, as your champion, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of a 5-foot girl. And I don't even know where this is going. I guess the Fiend, I guess what they're going to try to say, and this is all I can figure out, and I, you know, take it for what it's worth. I guess they're going to try to say that the Fiend is an entity that can go from body to body. It went into Bray Wyatt's body. And when it goes into Bray Wyatt's body, he becomes the Fiend. It can leave Bray Wyatt's body and go to Alexa Bliss, and she becomes the Fiend. I guess that's what they're. I guess that's it. I don't know. If that's it, and you can dispatch Asuka that easily, then I don't know. I don't know who's going to beat you. Who's going to beat you? Lesnar? Is that what we're going to have? Brock Lesnar versus Alexa Bliss? Because that's about what it would have to take, I guess. Oh, wait a minute. You got Charlotte Flair, who you're going to hand the whole company because you don't want her leaving. I don't know, Mike. I don't think this helped either character, to be honest with you.
I don't think so either. And, you know, to tell you the truth, I do like you said, she's doing, Alexa Bliss is doing a fine job with this character, all right? She's doing a really, really, really good job with it, especially the fact that, one, we have not seen her use the Twisted Bliss, which would kind of, the name fits the character, you know, the name of the move fits the character, but we haven't seen her using it. She's been mostly using, you know, Bray Wyatt's sister Abigail, you know. So, you know, and you're right. You're right about Asuka. They're throwing her down the drain. Asuka, again, this is one of the ones we've said about. There are a number of people that throughout the early days of the virus were there every single day. And Asuka was one of them. You know, and you're throwing that away. You're throwing all the goodwill that we had for Asuka. I mean, she still does a fine job, but you're throwing that character that, I mean, this, having her lose this way is, you know, having her being run through by a 5-foot girl is, you know, I mean, I get what they're going, what they're doing with Alexa Bliss, you know, they're trying to make her the female Fiend, whatever. But that character does not fit a 5-foot nothing, 100 nothing girl. If this was, say,
no, and Mike, if they were going to do this, wouldn't you think they would have said, let's book it this way? When the match starts, Asuka is completely dominating Alexa Bliss, start to finish. Alexa's barely getting in a move or one a reversal here and there, but nothing much. Asuka's clearly dominating. Have the announcers say, Alexa Bliss is a fine athlete, but Asuka is a next-level competitor, and she's Alexa Bliss hasn't competed all that much in recent history, and she's a little out of her league. Then, as soon as Asuka gives her finisher, those lights go out. Let Asuka give her, like, the big knee, but don't give her the submission. As soon as she gives her the finisher, those lights go out, and Alexa Bliss is back up and instantly just gives her the Sister Abigail 1-2-3. Nothing else. That's it. And then people would say, what the hell just happened? Alexa Bliss was getting her ass kicked, and then boom. Don't show this long thing where Asuka's afraid to attack her, and then she's almost invincible. Don't show that. It's just Asuka's dominating right up until the end. The lights go out. The next thing you know, boom, Sister Abigail, it's 1-2-3, it's done. Then at least we could say, well, I don't know what happened. It seems like for 1 second she got the power of the Fiend or something. That's fine. Again, you don't have Asuka look like she's afraid at all. In fact, you have Asuka look very confident. You might have Asuka look like she's uncomfortable in that playground thing. Especially if the rocking horse is going to start rocking and things, you know. But not afraid. She went way too far with this. I'm so afraid. I'm sorry. It was really bad. It's really bad. It's the first thing I've seen Asuka do that I think she should have refused to do. It's the first thing I've seen her do that if I were Asuka, I would have said, I'm not doing that. I'll look creeped out a little bit, like Randy Orton does. I'll look cautious and, you know, confused. I'm not going to look like I'm a scared little girl in a haunted house. No, I'm not going to do that. Because it takes away from my character. Had they handled it like I said there, Mike, it would have been acceptable if the lights had just went out after Asuka was dominating and then the next thing you know, wham, bam, Sister Abigail and done. Okay, I can live with that.
Right, and between the way, if they'd handled it that way, and between that and you know, the AJ Styles match, you know, with Ricochet, that would have been probably at least a C plus B minus show, even with all the crap that went around it.
I agree with you. And now, before we give our ratings, however, we do want to say that our ratings are sponsored by Inside Heat Sports and Collectibles. You can find their group on Facebook. They deal in online weekly auctions of all types of sports memorabilia, ranging from cards, action figures, Funko Pop figures, autographs, and collectibles. They also do pro wrestling, comic books. If you're a collector in the sports or pro wrestling field or comic collecting field, go to Inside Heat Sports Group on Facebook. Ask to join. This is the beauty of this group, is that it's not open to everyone. You're not going to be competing with 50,000 people for these auctions. You're going to be competing with a smaller group of sports collectors who are very fussy about what they collect. And before you think, well, that means high prices, no, they start out their cards at 50 cents. So not only can you get a good deal, but you can get the best in sports collectible memorabilia and certified autographs, by the way. So it's Inside Heat Sports and Collectibles on Facebook. They also have an eBay store for those people who are too impatient to wait for the auction to end, and you can buy it now from them. And coming up in the very near future, they will have a brick-and-mortar store in New Jersey. We'll keep you informed about that. So, Inside Heat, Sports and Collectibles. Mike, I'm going to go to you first. I mean, what do you think? This show had some extraordinarily bad moments. Extraordinarily bad moments and self-destructive moments. But it also had one or two really, really, really good moments. So, overall, what do you think of this week's show?
Like I said, if they'd gotten the Alexa Bliss thing right, it'd have been a B-minus, B-plus show. But as it stands, I'm going to go ahead and give it a C-minus. I mean, and the only two things that are saving it are the Alexa Bliss thing and the AJ Styles Ricochet match. If not for those two things, it would probably be a D-minus show.
Yeah, this was not good. I don't even think the Alexa Bliss thing saved it. I'm happy Alexa Bliss has a good character, and she is doing it very, very, very well. Way better than Liv Morgan could have done this character. So now we know they probably made the right decision. But they wrote it all ass backwards, and I don't think it did her character any good. And I don't think he did Asuka's character any good. Asuka's all of a sudden afraid of what? Why? The loss isn't the thing that I think destroyed it. It was the way they made Asuka act leading up to it. I think that was a huge mistake. Huge mistake. And it's one they're going to regret. You can bet Charlotte won't be afraid. The AJ Styles Ricochet match was awesome, and the ending was phenomenal, no pun intended. For me, that's going to give it one rating higher than I normally would have given it. I would have been even worse than Mike. I would have gave this a D-minus. I thought it was boring. I thought most of it didn't matter at all. You got a Royal Rumble coming up, and you're not even really promoting it much. But because of that AJ Styles Ricochet match, I'm going to give this a C-minus as well. Todd, what's your rating?
I'm going to give it a C minus as well, and that's all I got to say about it.
What do you think of this Alexa Bliss thing? Did they handle it wrong? I mean, would you have made Asuka that fearful of Alexa Bliss's character, or would you have rather just seen her lose but not be scared to death of it?
I would not have her be, like, scared to death of it. Just get some offense and everything and try to finish her off with her finisher, then and Alexa Bliss comes back up and give her to Sister Abigail for the finish.
Yeah, I think that's the way it has to go. I mean, if you want to do this with a lesser wrestler, if you want to do this with one of the mid-card women on your roster, okay. But this is Asuka. She's your champion. She's your double champion. I just don't understand it, and I absolutely 100% do not like it. Anyway, folks, we'll see you on Friday with more Wrestle Chat Radio.
You're listening to Wrestle Chat Radio.